You can turn your Bibles to Matthew 11, 28. And I believe this morning we're gonna start where Marv left off. He left off here at Matthew 11, 28. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The title of the message the Lord's laid on my heart this morning is called Overcoming Feelings of Separation / Loneliness. Overcoming Feelings of Separation and Loneliness. So if we go into Genesis and we look at what God said, he created all things, he made all things, he created man, and he said, it is very good. And if you want to go look at that, in verse 2, in Genesis 2:18, he says, "Then after he looked at all this that he'd made, and he said it was very good," he said, and I don't know if it seems like to me an afterthought or an after revelation or an afterthought or an after observation, that he said, "But it's not good for man to be alone." Everything was good and everything was perfect. And the first observation God made after that was that it was not good for man to be alone. And we know the story. And he created woman. And we see that now man and woman were created and they were joined together. But they were still seeking for more. One of the things that happens when we are either separated or we're alone, we're looking for more. So I want to look at first of all, I have 8 questions here written that, and you can add more, take away as you see fit. Questions that we humans ask or think. Where is God? Where is God in this difficult time? I don't deserve all these troubles. I mean, you've been all, I'm sure some of you have been to this same place. I don't deserve all this trouble. God, I just don't understand. God, why have you left me alone? God, why do you seem to be so far away? Lord, don't you see I need help? Where are you? Can't you see I'm in need? And then he says, Lord, you promised to carry the load, to help me carry the load. I believe we can be in a room full of people We can be in this room full of people this morning and we can still feel alone. What I want us to grasp this morning somehow is that this feeling of separation and being alone, we have to choose God in order and the Holy Spirit. And we'll walk our way through this. But what I'm seeing here in verse 29... Matthew 11, 29, he says, "And take my yoke," Jesus said unto them, "take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest in your soul." In other words, get yoked to me and you will not be alone anymore. You have somebody to be connected to. For he says, "My yoke is easy, my burden's light." It's not difficult. Jesus will carry the load if you get yoked with him. But he has a requirement. Notice the requirement. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. And I believe if we're going to be yoked, if we're going to be joined to Jesus, then we're going to have to become like him. We're going to have to be, if we're going to be yoked together, if we're going to come down to the point where we can fit into the yoke with Jesus, we're going to have to become meek and lowly. So I believe in our lives, in our human world, that we will from time to time realize that we are alone, we are separated, and we will be wondering, God, where are you? I'm here alone. Where are you? Let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 59. So we want to grapple with this idea that God said it's not good for man to be alone. And Isaiah says here, and I don't have all the answers. I just want to guide our thoughts here this morning. In Isaiah 59, Isaiah says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. So the Lord, he's saying the Lord is available. And he says in verse 2, but this is the problem. This is why you're dealing with feelings of loneliness, why you're dealing with feelings of separation. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So point number one is sin will separate us from God. God will not. It says plainly here, and he will not hear. It's because of your iniquities, of your sins. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers are with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue have muttered perverseness. None saith, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. In other words, he's saying in verse 4, not only have you sinned and your lips have done bad, have done lies, and your tongue has muttered perverseness, not only that, none is calling for justice. None is saying you can do better. None is calling us to accountability. So, I believe we can either have this feeling that none is calling us to accountability because we have separated ourselves out and we will not hear. Then he says, we're looking at 5 and 6. They hatch cockatrice eggs, and they weave the spider's web. He eateth it. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. And I think, as I did a little study on this cockatrice, was a legendary, in that time, a legendary viper or a snake, a venomous snake. But there was not really, if I could learn right, there was really no, but it was a legendary beast that was a serpent that was going to kill them. And as I thought about this, and I thought about one of the ways to put this in today's language, I believe, is Isaiah's talking about promoting conspiracy theories, plotting evil against authorities, and all these separate us, separates, kills, and it's violent because it's not true. It's a venomous beast that is legendary. You know, as I had knee treatments a couple years ago, and I think I shared that before, Gabe said, Glenn, he said, what do you think about this? He said, my parents decided to watch conspiracy theories for entertainment. And he said, after a long while watching conspiracy theories for entertainment, they started believing what they were listening to. And these things are what separates us out. And we end up in loneliness. Alone, separated out. God says, I won't see it. I won't hear it. I won't hear from you because you have sinned, your iniquities. Verse 9. Oh, let's just read on here in verse 7. We're going to look at this whole chapter in Isaiah 59. Go on at verse 7. Their feet run to the their feet run to evil, and they have haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. And he says in verse 9, therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity. We expect something to happen, something good to happen. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity. We can't see it. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall, like the blind, we grope as we had no eyes. We stumble at the noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar like bears and mourn like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. In other words, he's saying we look for judgment, but there's no judgment. We can't judge rightfully because we are separated out. We're on our own and we don't have any good judgment. But it is far from us. Verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. He says, we know we're in sin. In transgression and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. The judgment and judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth far off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. He said, because of your separation, because of your sin, because you have, and the list goes on and on here. It's amazing. And he says in verse 14, your judgment is turned backwards. You can't even make good judgment anymore. Justice stands afar off. Justice won't step in because you're fallen creatures. He says, truth is fallen in the street. There is no truth. We don't admit that we're fallen creatures. Iniquity can't enter. Yea, truth faileth. Verse 15. Truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. So let's back up just a second there. Yea, truth faileth. Okay, we're not about to admit or come to truth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, and there was no judgment. This is why God said in the beginning that it was not good for man to be alone. Because a lot of times our own judgment isn't safe. And then we go to verse 16. It is very much more optimistic. Look at verse 16. And he saw, and there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. He's prophesying here about Jesus Christ coming. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with a zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the isles he will repay recompense. There's going to be he's going to send Christ and there'll be final judgment. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. So he's saying here that we can't of our own lift up a standard against the evil one. We're not safe alone. But he said the Lord, and let's compare two verses here. In verse 2, let's look at verse 2. At verse 2 and 19, I want to compare. And he says in here in verse 2, but your iniquities have separated you unto the you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear. And in verse 19, he says, so shall they fear, this is Christ coming, and so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and the glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against the enemy. This is our salvation. The Spirit of the Lord within us shall stand up against the enemy. Verse 20 and 21 is a covenant. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith he. The Redeemer shall come to them that turn from their transgressions. There's hope. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. He's saying it through Christ Jesus, the Redeemer. My spirit shall be upon thee, and my word which I put in thy mouth, it shall be thy redemption. And in verse 21, he says that my spirit will not depart. My word shall not depart. Let's turn to Thessalonians. Paul writes here to the Thessalonians. That's 2 Thessalonians. We'll start at first chapter, start at verse 3. Let's start at verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward us, toward each other, aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endured, which is manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which also ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that that trouble you. He's talking here about in verse 3 about a unified brotherhood, because that your faith will growth exceedingly, and charity for each other, a togetherness, charity together, a giving of yourself for each other. And he says in verse 4, we need the church, so we ourselves glory in you in the church of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Basically, Paul's saying here, the world is going to be full of persecutions, tribulations, and troubles. And I believe he's saying here the resting in verse 7, that you who are troubled rest with us. I believe we as a church brotherhood, we need to be here for each other, sacrifice for each other, because we're not able to do it alone. That's why I said in the beginning, it's not good for man to be alone. It's good for us to have someone to walk with, to walk beside. And we look at 8 and 9. Verse 8 and 9. In flaming fire taketh vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. He's saying here that Paul is saying that in the end, there's going to be permanent separation. It's not going to be a feeling of separation. There's going to be a permanent separation. Separation of those that, on the one hand, eternal destruction, on the other hand, eternal bliss. And in a couple weeks here, we have Easter and Good Friday, and I'm sure we'll have a message on the resurrection and the crucifixion. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and the week we can think about that, all the trials and all the suffering, and finally dying alone on the cross for you and I. But it's not safe for us to be alone. Turn to John 14. We'll get a little more of a positive. I was visiting with a man this last week, and the question he had for me was that this eternal loving God. Just, Glenn, how do you think this eternal loving God was going to put anybody in eternal destruction? But that's what the Bible says. Plainly said there, that there will be eternal destruction, eternal damnation. So we have a choice. This morning we have a choice, but we're not safe to make this choice on our own. Yeah, we have to make it on our own, but we're not safe to walk the path alone. We need our brotherhood. And I want to look at a couple happenings here in John. Let's start at John 13 and start at verse 36. And chapter 13 here in John is about the Last Supper and the feet washing, and then in verse 36, his final commandment there at the foot washing was that the new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And then Simon said unto them in verse 36, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus saith unto him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why canst I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thee. Jesus saith unto him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for me? For my sake, verily I say unto you, the cock shall not crow twice until thou hast denied me thrice. Peter's saying here, it doesn't matter what's going to happen, I'm going to be with you. There's no way to separate me and Christ. We are in this together. But then we see, if we go on into Matthew chapter 18 and 15 through... Yeah, Matthew 18, verses 15 to 18, we find that Peter denied that he even knew Christ. He was completely, if we go look at that account, he was completely separated. He was completely alone. He denied that he even knew Christ. Yet, a few days before that, he said, I think it says before the sun go down. But at any rate, it was not long before that, he said, I'm willing to die for you. So I want to look at some discourses here in John 14. And we'll start at verse 1. If we look at, we're thinking about things that separate us, leave us alone, leave us vulnerable, leave us. And if we look at verse 1 to 4, it's about unbelief. And if we go to 5 and 7, it's a lack of understanding. Verses 8 to 9 is blindness, unwillingness to see. And we'll just read down across here and see what little bit we can gather out of this. And he says here in John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." These disciples of Jesus were children of Abraham. They were Israelites, children of Abraham, and they had Abraham for their father. And Jesus is saying here, just believe in me. Just believe in me. They had been together for however many, they had traveled together for 3 years, and still they were having trouble. He said, just trust me, just know me. You know my walk. That where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, he's had 3 years of experience as a disciple with Jesus, and he said, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "Unless you come unto me, you will be separated out. You will not be a part of this." He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You need to be joined unto me if you're going to see the Father. "If ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Thomas was feeling separated out and alone because he did not believe in Jesus. So in the group of his apostles, Jesus and his disciples, Thomas was feeling alone. He was feeling left out. He was not connected. He was separated. And today I'm telling us today, if you feel separated, you feel alone. If you're here in this room full of people and you're feeling alone, separated out, Jesus says there's hope. He said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life." And in verse 7, he's saying, if you know Jesus, if you know me, you know God, you know the Father. Verse 8, Philip saith unto him, "Shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, then, shew us the Father?" They walked with Jesus and they didn't know Jesus. And I'm concerned about me and you today. Are we walking with Jesus? How long have we walked with Jesus? And Philip's problem was here that he had walked with Jesus, but he still did not know who Jesus was. He was not connected. He was not. And the point remains, we can be right next to someone . We can walk with them, obviously, for 4 years and still not know them. And that's why I believe God said in the beginning, it is not good for man to be alone. We need to make a connection. Verse 11 and 12. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for my very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He says, believe in me, and what happens? The words I do, you shall do. Jesus said, believe in me, and the words that I do, you shall do. The works that I do. And then he says here in the end of verse 12, which I just can't quite wrap my mind around this. He says that let's just read verse 12 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these. Greater works than the works of Jesus Christ shall he do. Then these shall be done because I go unto my Father. And he's promising that greater works we will be able to do when we're connected with him than what he can do. Let's just go on to and whatsoever ye shall ask of my name, verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is Jesus writing. If ye love me, keep my commandment, and I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, the comforter, this connection, this Holy Spirit is what he's talking about. This Holy Spirit is able to do within us something that Jesus can't even do. That's what he's saying here. If the Holy Spirit is within us, we have the power to do over and beyond if we're connected to the Holy Spirit. He says, I will dwell in you, and you will never be alone. Never be alone. Never feel separated. Doesn't matter how difficult life is, how down and out we are. If we have the Holy Spirit, we're never alone. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and I will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, he's saying that he's going to send the Holy Spirit and he can dwell in our hearts. And we will come, verse 23, the end, and we will come and make our abode in him. If ye love me, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and we will come unto him, the Father and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, We will come unto him and we will make our abode, our dwelling place, our residing place in your very heart. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, let not it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of the world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And if we look, and if we follow that through, this arise and go hence means that if we take it in the setting, we skip into chapter 18, which is about the trial, the crucifixion, and the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Christ. There's a lot of teaching in between there, but this points, verse 31 points us to chapter 18. But in the beginning, God said that man is not safe alone. It is not good for man to be alone. So here he sends, in this late day and age, this time, he said he's going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. That no matter where man is in life, no matter what your journey, no matter how difficult or how exalted you are, there's always somebody available to be with you. You're not safe alone. The Holy Spirit is that Comforter, and he will dwell in us forever. The Holy Spirit has no death, no end. And then we grapple with this. Where is God in this difficult time? I don't deserve all these troubles. God, you just don't understand. God, why have you left me alone? God, why do you seem to be so far away? Lord, don't you see I need help? Lord, you promised to carry the load. You promised to be with me. And this morning, with all the vices in this world, God knew and observed way on early in our life that we weren't safe to be alone. And he sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the church brotherhood that we never need to be alone. Because we're not safe alone. Today we have technology, and I thought about that in our accountability meeting. We need filters, we need blockers, we need accountability. We're not safe alone. He said in the beginning, it's not good for me to be alone. And I believe one of the things we need to confess early on in life, or when we take up the cross of Jesus Christ, we take up the following of Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, And we just need to confess that we're not safe alone. We're not. It's not good for us to be alone. If you see two people in the restaurant and today and one's and they're both on their phone, I saw it a while back, man and a woman sitting in a restaurant and they were both on their phone. Were they together or were they separated? Were they connected somewhere else or were they not connected? If we go back here to Matthew. Matthew 11. Lord read that for us, and I'm going to just read it again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is willing to yoke up with us. But unless we become meek and lowly in heart, a converted person, a person filled with the Holy Spirit, and we will never be alone. We'll never be separated. But this is life. This is life. And we need to admit that sometimes we fail. Sometimes we get separated out, we feel separated out, or we are separated out. And we finally need to come back and get a hold of our feelings, and we need to let the Lord Jesus Christ control being our companion. Be yoked with him, meek and lowly of heart. Let's kneel for prayer.